Sports Podcast. I said, welcome to the Dirty Sports Podcast with Andy Ruther and Joe Prano. Welcome to the Dirty Sports Podcast.
Welcome to the Dirty Sports Podcast. I am your host, Andy Ruther, coming to you live from Cincinnati, Ohio, with my co-host from Palm Springs, California, Joey No Chill Prano.
Hello, Andy.
Good morning, Joe. How is the desert?
It's great. It's a little bit cooler than you normally travel to Palm Springs for, but it seems like it's warming up today. Yesterday, a rainy day in Los Angeles, a drizzly day in Palm Springs, but I spent yesterday evening drinking tiki drinks by the pool at this like tropical hotel down the street from where we're staying. And today, getting up, doing dirty sports, getting out to the pool, a little golf tomorrow morning at Desert Dunes. And then off to San Diego for the weekend, where Andy, stand-up comedy has returned, although outside. I believe I'm hosting the shows because the opening spot was already filled, but hosting the shows for Eddie If this weekend. Been doing some stand-up lately, Andy.
What's that like?
It's it's definitely strange to be doing it again, but I actually like this kind of moment where it can be very relaxed and I have my notes up there. You know, typically it's like the Janine Garofalo types that are like, I have notes even though I don't need them, just so I can look like I'm some sort of book smart person. And but now, like, you know, everybody just kind of getting back into it simultaneously to go up and riff and just like work shit out that I've been thinking about for months but haven't had a chance to try. It's kind of fun.
Yeah, I bet. I was realizing, so it'll be a year next week without performing for me. And yeah. And I'm pretty sure, I'm like 100% sure, I think. Since the first time I ever went on stage, which was 2004, I don't think I've ever gone a year. Like, I've had lulls where like I didn't do stand up for 6 months, 8 months.
Yeah.
But I've never gone 12 straight months without doing stand up.
Yeah, I'm thinking like we started in March, you know, ended in March last year, and I didn't perform live until I think that was like right around Halloween when I did that outdoor show.
Yeah, October, I remember.
Although actually I did a patio show. Yeah, like, but even that was probably the longest in like a long time. But this feels different. It's not like patio show where I'm screaming without a microphone or performing to cars. I've now done two shows in the past week, one on a outdoor area but microphoned, and another in this like big open garage situation. And now this weekend there'll be more patios, and yeah, feels good to be back.
Yeah. I'll be curious what I do. I'll be honest, I haven't really missed it, but I wasn't going hard anyway,
one of the comedy clubs that's there in Cincinnati is actually in Kentucky. Is that right?
Well, the main staple as far as the longevity is Go Bananas, which is actually close to where my little brother lives in an area town called Montgomery. That's under renovation. I think they were smart, right? COVID was happening. You couldn't do shows. They're still renovating it. Now there's a Funny Bone, which was in Northern Kentucky, which they relocated out. It's like 35 miles away. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's kind of out there.
Still in Kentucky.
No, that's in Ohio.
Oh, okay, got
it. In Liberty Township. Now that's been open. I don't think they're doing mics. Again, it's still very limited, yeah. I'm sure, as far as seating. But yeah, I definitely got some stuff I want to work through. I think it's therapy, as we know, stand up. That's why we like doing it. So I got some, you know, some lovely topics like coping with death and uplifting stuff, but with my attempt to make it funny. But yeah, that's good, man.
Pronouns. We know you've been workshopping this pronoun bit.
I have, and it might suck. That's what's so crazy about stand-up. It might bomb, but I don't know, man. I'm trying to, and maybe I don't know if you feel this way. Like, I think it's important to, we've been given almost a refresh button, but we have on life. It's the give zero fucks mentality I'm trying to have in my life in general. You know, if I do something that bombs, or if I try something that doesn't work, you know, it's trial and error. And
I mean, I'm definitely not one of those people. I don't take it too seriously in terms of like, oh, the art form of it or the therapy of it. I was like, I wasn't even sure I wanted to, you know, necessarily get back and like do it till it was, things were happening. And then, you know, our boy Jonesy, friend of the show, the two shows I've done so far were his, and I was like, yeah, I guess I'll try it. And then, you know, when you get back out and do it, you're like, ah, it's fun. It's fun to talk some shit.
Yeah.
So if anybody's down in the San Diego area, Escondido Grand Comedy Club in Escondido this weekend, I'll talk some shit and probably draw some raffle winners. I haven't hosted a real comedy show in a long, long time.
Yeah. That'll be good for you, man.
Yeah.
I mean, you said, but I do think it's therapeutic for us guys like us. I think it's our form of almost seeing somebody. Like, it's just going through that on stage is always cleansing. Now, comedy's back, and you know who else is coming back? Big Ben, Joe. I'm going to segue that way.
That's right.
He officially has re-signed. We've discussed this at length. You and I both agree. You know, it doesn't make them Super Bowl contenders, but he is coming back officially as of the last hour.
I guess the thing that helps is that there was some sort of renegotiation of his contract and cash deferments and whatever, and he's freeing up some money for them. But all that being said, I just don't, like, the simplest way to put it is I actually don't think specifically at the quarterback position, with, if everything else pans out, if they sign some people with that money, and if they fill some holes, and if they get better at certain spots, like, I simply don't think they're strong enough at the quarterback position to contend for a Super Bowl. And that's Ben Roethlisberger. So,
and it's not like he had, by the way, he didn't have a bad year last year. He had overall, he had a pretty good year, but he doesn't. I agree. I don't think he takes them to that next step to where they can make a Super Bowl. They started 11-0 and got smoked first round at home in the playoffs.
Yeah. I also think that, and this is certainly not true of Ben Roethlisberger throughout his career, but I think certainly late career Ben Roethlisberger, it seems like he's turning into one of those feast on bad teams guys, not show up against good teams guys. Like, I just, you know, like, the thing about Ben Roethlisberger at his age and at his quality, it's been a long time since he won 3 straight playoff games, 4 straight playoff games. Like, we are pretty far removed from the deep Super Bowl champs / Super Bowl appearance, like Pittsburgh Steelers with Big Ben. So I just look at him now and I go, is he winning 4 playoff games like Tom Brady did last year? And I don't think he is. Is he winning 3 if they were to somehow magically have a bye in the playoffs? I don't think he is. So I guess the Steelers were boxed in because what's their other option at this point? But at the same time, so many quarterbacks are on the move. So many quarterbacks want to be moved. So many quarterbacks will be available should their team get one of the quarterbacks that move. It just seems like, here's a question for you, Andy. Who makes the Steelers better short and or long term? Ben Roethlisberger at this age or Sam Darnold?
Well, I think they win more now with Ben. Now, they haven't been to a conference title since 2016, so it has been a minute. I don't know what to make of Darnold. Like, long term, I just don't know. I wasn't the biggest Darnold guy. I thought he turned the ball over too much at SC. He went from having a great year to more of a down year the year before his last year in college before he was drafted. I think he's too turnover prone. I'm not the biggest Darnold guy.
Me either. But he has had flashes with the Jets, and they're the Jets. And Ben Roethlisberger certainly wouldn't be somebody that you would classify as not turnover prone.
Okay, I'm gonna toss out a few guys because this is a fun game, and you and I love our quarterback discussions, and we're gonna have a bunch today. And I'm gonna toss out a few guys and say, do they become Super Bowl contenders in your eyes if these guys are their quarterbacks next year? Derek Carr.
I mean, they went 11-0 this year, so. Super Bowl contenders, could they make a Super Bowl? Yeah, I think they could.
I guess the question should be, do they improve? Do you like their chances better?
I think they improve.
Okay.
I think they improve. You know, I mean, I guess I'm still a Derek Carr, like, truther to a little bit of an extent, but, like, I think Derek Carr is good. And I think, is he peak Big Ben? No, but neither is Big Ben now. So I think current day Derek Carr is better than current day Ben Roethlisberger. Yeah. I don't think that's a hot take.
Dak Prescott.
Yeah. I mean, this is a fun game, but I also think there's like 9 starting quarterbacks or 7 starting quarterbacks that I would maybe not take over Big Ben right now, considering age and everything.
Okay. So it sounds like
the thing that you have going, obviously, if you're the Steelers, is you don't have to change anything at all.
Yeah.
He doesn't have to learn anything at all. But it's like the saying, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. What if it is broke? You went 11-0, and then you know. I mean, the state of the Steelers franchise, when you're getting blown out by the punchline of your division or one of the 2 punchlines of your division in a playoff game, that's got to be, you know, the Steelers have a pretty great track record of never being down. That's got to be one of the low points. Oh, we still make the playoffs, but the Cleveland Browns massacre us.
Well, it's interesting. I'm going to pull from YouTube right now. I'm looking at some comments, but we have a Steelers fan chiming in. Joe Lucchini, he says, a lifelong Steelers fan, Ben's arm never looked stronger than last year. There's no better options at his, as far as like a lower price. Horrible offensive line play and no run game down the stretch. Now, they did have absolutely no run game, but I'll say this. He was getting the ball out quicker than he ever did. You know, I think you can debate his arm because he was doing a lot of quick slants and quick passes. But I thought his arm looked terrible. Like against the Browns in that game, I just thought, man, he looks like he's old. You know, there's a lot of guys I'd rather have. That's why I tossed out certain guys. I don't know.
I mean, obviously money's such a factor, and I know we have Russell Wilson discussions on deck, and that's the stuff that you got to take into consideration. But and I know, again, he renegotiated, but I like, let's do it, Andy. Let's go as deep as we can go and, you know, put ourselves as much against the fire as we can, as dirty sports, you know, in the history of dirty sports, a guy that we have thrashed is Jameis Winston. Are they better with Jameis Winston? Like,
no.
if you don't think so?
No, I don't. I think that's. Come on, give Ben something there. I think he just turns the ball over too much. You know? Well, there are a lot of discussions about these prices. Like the I don't know where, like, that brings in the whole Dak discussion. You know, where are they now? Like,
where are who now? The Cowboys?
Because I read a lot on this. And apparently he wants something between a Russell Wilson deal and a Patrick Mahomes deal.
So then I would tell him to fuck off entirely. And I'd draft another quarterback in the second round or whenever they got Dak Prescott and do it again. Like, that's the thing with Dak Prescott is fine quarterback, but if you want that money, I don't want anything to do with you. Once your cost exceeds your value, I'm out entirely.
I guess that's the question. What is Dak Prescott's value? He's won a single playoff game. And again, it really does all come back to that. It's a team sport, but he's coming off a pretty brutal injury. I don't know. Just the thought of him commanding somewhere in between that range is, I think it's pretty ridiculous.
I do too. But also, here I am, you know, with the Seahawks shopping Russell Wilson after saying them giving him that money was ridiculous. And every single person in the world saying Joe Prano is mentally ill and is some sort of Russell Wilson hater.
You are a Russell Wilson hater.
The bottom line is, I think the money exceeds the value.
The okay. If you're the Cowboys, simple. you're Jerry Jones.
Yep.
Would you rather have Russell Wilson or Dak Prescott moving forward?
Well, I'd rather have Russell Wilson if Dak Prescott wants Russell Wilson money, because Russell Wilson's only got 2 years left on his Russell Wilson deal, and it's for $22 million or, you know, 19 and 21 million or something like that, plus the $13 million a year he has to get as some sort of bonus, which I don't know how any team that is planning on trading for him or how the Seahawks are approaching teams that they are trying to trade him to, are, I don't know how they're all discussing this, that he also has, you know, I believe it's like $26 million sitting on the side that still has to be paid off as part of a bonus plan. But the bottom line is Russell Wilson's contract number is, I believe, 19 and 21 or 22 million for the last 2 years left. So yeah, I'm going to take Russell Wilson over Dak Prescott if Dak Prescott wants the 5 year, 6 year, 7 year deal that all these quarterbacks are getting that then you're hampered with. Because the reason is, 2 years, if you don't win, you figure it out again, as opposed to 6 years from now when the Cowboys become the Seahawks and go, well, we won 9 games a lot of times, but we haven't won anything else because we can't afford to pay any other players because we're playing Dak Prescott $30 million and now we've got to move him somewhere.
You know, it is crazy when you start looking at these numbers. I mean, even Mahomes, not that he wasn't worth it, because he was, but we all know how tight that the window is so small in the NFL. It's so small. People forget that it is such a short window. We haven't had a team repeat since this Patriots 2003, 2004. Obviously the Chiefs didn't repeat, right? Like, you're going to see that in Kansas City too. Patrick Mahomes got so much money. There is a finite amount of time with the budget constraints. Well, what
I think,
you can do.
I think when you have a guy like, and this is sort of where Aaron Rodgers is angry about the drafting of Jordan Love, is if you have a Patrick Mahomes type, if you have an Aaron Rodgers type, just protect him and play some defense and then go high in the draft on weapons for him. Don't worry about paying some big free agent to come play wide receiver or tight end with them. If you're the Chiefs, don't worry about, you know, keeping some of these receivers. Like, Patrick Mahomes is going to make guys you've never heard of great receivers. So it's okay, because you don't have to spend money on weapons. He's your weapon. But make sure you protect him and make sure you play some defense. And also, like I said about Aaron Rodgers, is make sure you, when you have draft picks, to spend them on young, cheap weapons that he can make great, as opposed to spending them on a backup quarterback for your quarterback. Don't draft a quarterback in the first round when your quarterback needs young, cheap weapons.
Yeah. I mean, it really is.
I'm not so worried about, you know, the Chiefs not being able to re-sign like a Mecole Hardman. Like, you can get a track star out of college and Patrick Mahomes will turn him into something.
Sure. Yeah, I don't know, man. A lot of these, there's a lot of decisions that have to happen with a lot of teams. We still don't know what's going on in Houston with Deshaun Watson. And a lot of these decisions are going to have to be made before the, is there a certain deadline coming up like at the end of March?
I don't know.
I don't know, but I'll be curious, you know, how it plays out. I keep seeing things in Seattle. I just don't know. I don't know where that situation is at. If it's as bad as people make it sound.
Well, it's just an hour ago now, right? That now the report is they're shopping him when it was like, we absolutely aren't shopping him.
Well, I saw the ESPN report on that. Diana Rossini, she's claiming no. She was on Pat McAfee's show. This is an hour ago. I was told the Seahawks are not shopping Russell Wilson, but calls from other teams inquiring have been answered.
So, I mean, what's the difference? They're not calling people. They're just accepting calls to them. It's like a...
Yeah.
It seems like semantics to me.
Going to the Super Bowl.
It might be.
We're not calling people about you, but if people call us about you, we're throwing out potential trade ideas.
Yeah. This is where social media sucks, man. Because I think to a certain degree, these players, it's just like, it's the point of no return of, you know, Deshaun Watson now maybe looks like Russell Wilson, you know, where there's so much stuff out there and everybody has so much access to this information. Whereas it was more hush hush in the past. You can't really repair that relationship. But again, I stand by what I said last episode. Like if I'm Russ, it's worked well enough in Seattle, man. Like, trust me, you don't know what you're getting when you go to these other teams.
I completely agree with you, but I think that part of that is it's worked so well in Seattle. You can't be vocal about the parts of it that don't work when you're almost as much responsible for that. Like, how do you justify trashing your O-line when you make a ton of money so they can't pay an offensive lineman? You hold the ball too long, so you get fucking sacked. Like, dude, a lot of that blame on some offensive line issues is your fault. So maybe just don't go around trashing your O-line.
Well, I think, you know, Russ has been pretty tight-lipped for the most part. But I think what's happening is he's married to a pop star. I think that comes into it. God knows how many people are in his ear. And I think Russ cares so much about the image, and he's doing the GQ stuff and the social media and all that crap.
So a diva.
I think he's slowly turning into more of a diva. I'm not disagreeing with that. That's what I'm saying. Like you're seeing the evolution. I don't even know if it's a diva, but you're seeing the evolution of a guy. And I have no problem with the frustration. Look, we've seen it. We've seen frustrations even with like an Aaron Rodgers. Like we've seen it. Right. But again, you've been in a good situation. I think maybe the play calling could be better. Again, I think blame goes all the way around, and that includes Russ himself, which maybe he's not looking in the mirror enough and thinking that, hey, man, I'm just as culpable as some players on my team or the coaching or the play calling, all those things. And I just think the grass isn't always greener, you know? It's not always greener.
Certainly not like with the options that you've thrown out there. Like, I don't think the grass is greener in Dallas.
No,
I don't think the grass is greener in Chicago. I don't think the grass is necessarily greener in Las Vegas.
I mean, look,
is the grass greener in New Orleans? Maybe.
But you talk about weapons and you talk about drafting. They drafted Metcalf. They drafted Lockett. They drafted Carson. Like, you got all these weapons. They brought in someone like Greg Olsen. Obviously, he's older, but, you know, a good veteran presence, which is also great for the locker room.
Right, and also cheap.
Exactly. And that's
because you can't they didn't go out and they didn't go out and sign a big name wide receiver free agent because they're paying their quarterback $35 million a year.
Yeah.
And how do you have the Legion of Boom and big free agent signings as weapons and pay your quarterback that money? You don't.
You can't.
That's why you have none of them.
Yeah.
So that's why when I say Russell Wilson's overrated, that's what I mean.
But I, you know, that's, I still don't fully understand that. Like, overrated in what sense?
Overrated in the idea that let's just give Russell Wilson anything he wants and then it'll all figure itself out. Let's lock down the most important thing. Some would argue the proof is that at least in that system with your coach, with the way you guys want to play football, you're not the most important thing.
Well, I think right now that is the discussion within the Seahawks organization is, does our game plan, which is run game defense, run game opens up the deep ball, all that, is that bigger or more important than the one guy throwing the ball? And I think that's where they're butting heads now. And
I think, and here's what I'll say. I think anybody that's on the quarterback side in this situation is overrating Russell Wilson.
I'll say this about Russ. He couldn't sustain at the level that he started the year, and he's got to look at that. So if he's still butthurt that they pulled in the reins on him, look, man, you were turning the ball over. Like, it's as simple as that. Obviously, I still like the guy. I wanted to be successful. I like a lot of quarterbacks, though. I think we're in a glorious age of QBs, a golden age, I should say. We discussed this. I love a lot of these guys. I'll be curious to see where they go, where Deshaun Watson goes. I'd love to see him somewhere else. Get him out of Houston. It's basically a hurricane. What was the big hurricane that hit? Harvey?
I don't even remember.
I've lost track. The big hurricane that hit a few years ago. That's basically what their organization is. It's a giant hurricane just destroying careers. And then you see guys like DeAndre Hopkins who leave and are happier and they're still playing at a high level. That's what I want. I don't know. But, Joe, the spring is here and you know, the sun is shining in Cincinnati, Ohio, and I know the Miller Lights are flowing because people are excited. Baseball's around the corner. You're in Palm Springs.
I'm about to go have a couple ice-cold ones by the pool. I've got some in my little mini fridge in my hotel room that'll go directly into my minimal golf bag tomorrow for my 7 a.m. tee time on the course. It's that time of year.
Yeah.
It's always that time of year, but it's especially that time of year.
It really is, guys. Miller Lite, it's the original light beer. It's always been about bringing you and your friends together for a time-honored classic, Miller Time. And I know you're enjoying Miller Time in Palm Springs. That sounds amazing by the pool. A nice, cold Miller Lite.
Hot sun, warm pool. Perfect. Cold Miller Lite.
Guys, you can enjoy Miller Time too. Miller Lite, great taste with only 96 calories and 3.2 carbs. However you and your friends are enjoying Miller Time, you can have the original light beer delivered by going to MillerLite.com/dirtysports and find the delivery options near you. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 96 calories and 3.2 carbs per 12 ounces. So yeah, guys, have it shipped if you don't want to leave your house. Or MillerLite.com/dirtysports also shows you where you can get Miller Lite in your area. So that's another option. If you like to get out occasionally, get away from your family, your kids, your boyfriend, girlfriend, whatever it is, you just want to go for a drive like I do sometimes, stop in the car. Go to MillerLite.com/dirtysports. Okay, we do have some updates on some of the financial stuff, which I always like because I'm a dork like that, as far as NFL TV contracts.
Okay.
So whatever's going on with ratings is not affecting, which you and I knew.
Andy, I am shocked.
The deals are going to be even bigger.
Shocked. The equality on the back of the helmets has not derailed the entire NFL TV system. Colin Kaepernick and leading to many other players kneeling has not derailed. They're not now just getting offered hundreds of dollars instead of billions of dollars.
No,
I am shocked, Andy.
And I mean, it's going to go up a lot.
No,
this is all projection, but I'm reading right now the article today in the Wall Street Journal. Fox, which currently spends $1.1 billion per season, is expected to go up to $2 billion. So that's almost a 50% increase to $2 billion.
Go get woke. Go the richest you've ever riched. Is that the new saying? It doesn't rhyme, but I like it. Get woke. Get filthy, stupid, rich.
Well, I think that but here's the thing, though. I know what you're doing. I will say the NFL is very strategic how they do that stuff. We've both noticed it. It's not in your face like the NBA. It's not. Let's just be honest. It's very subtle.
It's not on the floor. It's in the grass. So there's the grass is hiding it.
I mean, on the back of the helmet.
Equality in the end zones, it's not like the equality on the baseline. Technically, it's way bigger, but in per capita foot.
But hold on, Joe. You have to admit, it is the equality in the back of the helmet is very small. Like, a lot of people aren't seeing that. I don't think they are. I'm just saying the NFL is very strategic on how they do it.
Yeah, they're strategic in that they tried to stop it. It kind of blew up in their face. The players protested. Now it's basically accepted. Now, now commissioner is scolding people who are not talking about equality and
sure.
saying people whatever. So listen, one thing we know about the NFL is that the NFL only cares about money. So they are going
yes.
to go. They're going to go whichever way the wind blows.
Yes, and right? and that is a point.
And the point is that the wind now blows in this. So the idea that this is the vocal minority and the masses really the masses are going to turn it off as long as these players are kneeling. Well, get woke. Get the richest TV contract you've ever been offered in the history of professional sports and television.
Well, I also think
it's a long hashtag, but I think we can make it work.
But I also think I know you're going to keep going there, and I know you're having fun with it. But like I'm just viewing it as this. I can take that out of it. It's the NFL is king, the NFL is cash king, the NFL rules, and that's
right.
what it is.
Yeah,
and to me, it has nothing like versus all the sports. It right. just shows like
but
the NFL
is
unstoppable.
Every single person that's claiming. They're going to stop watching. They didn't stop watching.
Agreed.
And if they did stop watching, that their effect is so minimal that Amazon and CBS and NBC and Fox and whoever are like, we don't fucking care. We're going to pay you more than we've ever paid anybody. We want the football. We need the football.
Yeah. Amazon's interesting, man. Amazon is trying to be the sole provider for Thursday night football, and they're going to pay big bucks for that. And I kind of like it. I do, because it's, you know, we're headed to that, the streaming, the cable box, the DirecTV, they're kind of outdated. And if Amazon's willing to shell out for it, like I don't know many people who don't have Prime. Who doesn't have Amazon Prime at this point?
I don't know.
Like where would we, I mean, it's true though. Who doesn't have Amazon Prime? Like, especially with COVID, you know, there's some conspiracies that Bezos, I think you started that, or I don't know if you read that somewhere, you know,
what
Jeff Bezos is the man behind COVID because.
Yeah. Well, he's certainly making money off of it.
Oh my God. Can you imagine? I was talking about this with some family members the other day. Can you imagine 2020 without Amazon delivery when you couldn't go to the store or you didn't want to?
Yeah.
Can you imagine that?
No, it's absurd.
So now they're going to overtake football slowly but surely. Amazon's overtaking everything. Like I'm trying to learn. You just got to accept it. Like, what are you going to do? They own Whole Foods. They own what you watch on TV. They're going to own football,
the
delivery service. But Amazon is the big new player in this. ABC is also going to get a Super Bowl again, it looks like, you know, owned by Disney. So the money's there and people are paying it. And it's not-
a lot of Chinese money in Disney. So I assume that the people that are going after LeBron will soon be going after the NFL and ABC and their partnership with Disney. So, you know, a lot of things to come. No, I'm hearing no. I'm hearing in my ear no, that they will not.
That's a good point, though. I will agree with you on that. It goes back to the Andy Ruther. We're all pieces of shit, aren't we? Just accept it, people. Just accept it. Yeah, that is true. A lot of Disney money going in. So, I don't know, but look, I'm all for it. If people want to pay this money, if they make it easier to watch games, I'm all for it. Now, there's so much money coming in. I'm also all for taking care of players, right, when they retire. Come on, NFL. Give them some benefits. The money's Absolutely. There.
Absolutely.
And we see these guys, and I don't know, you know, guys go crazy. I have to mention it. So many dirtballs DM me. Former guest of the show, the worst guest ever, Kellen Winslow Jr.
Thank God we had him on the phone.
Right?
And not in person. Can you imagine there's pictures of him squeezed in between us on the smut couch? That would have been bad.
Well, we got a 14-year prison sentence for multiple rapes and sexual assaults. And like everything, you and I saw this coming. Lawyers claiming CTE. This is going to be the new move, man.
It should be the new move. It's, honestly, I said that if OJ happened today, that's absolutely what they'd claim. They'd be like, he did it, but it was CTE.
Yeah, it seems to be the move now that they're just.
But like the thing is, you know, there's part of the crimes that Kellen Winslow committed, which is like, you don't just start sexually assaulting the elderly.
Yeah.
Because he got CTE. So obviously the guy's got serious problems, but at the same time, like the CTE thing, I mean, look at all of these guys killing themselves and whatever, like it's clearly has a very serious effects on a lot of these guys.
Yeah.
That goes beyond
it's about legacy, yo.
You know.
Whoa. Did you hear that? Oh, now we're going into something else. Why is it doing that? We're going into Kanye.
And now YouTube has canceled our stream. Canceled. Like, you can't play a Kanye song on your show.
I wasn't trying to, man. It just jumped.
It did make me think about the potential of Kanye sampling It's About Legacy, yo. I mean, when is a rapper going to take It's About Legacy, yo, and put it in a jam?
I agree. I mean, that is a, that's an all-time 30 Sports classic.
When we finally put together the compilation of rapping Andy Ruther tracks, I think the whole album should be called It's About Legacy, yo.
Yeah?
It's about Get Legacy, yo, or Die Trying.
What was that, Kellen? What did you say? I won't play. Never mind. This is where we need a producer. It's just not working.
It's about legacy, yo.
There he is.
And your legacy is pound me in the ass. What do they say in Office Space?
I have no idea what you're going for right
now.
Pound
me in the ass prison. Dude, he's a sick man, though. And all jokes aside, 14 years. Come on. That's all. Like, he's raping old women, homeless women. A girl passed out when she was 17. Like, the plea deal is 14 years.
The Cowboys already have a workout on their Google calendar for 2035. They're like, well, let's just see what he's got left in the tank. When they're paying 52-year-old Russell Wilson $75 million after they traded him for Dak.
Unbelievable. You want to hear something crazy that I read when I was reading about all this? At one point after he had a Pro Bowl season, Kevin Winslow Jr. was the highest paid tight end for like a year or two in the NFL.
Yeah. Talk about it. It's about legacy. I mean, he couldn't be more right, though. It is about legacy, yo. Like, the dude got – the dude basically lived off his dad's legacy.
Yeah, that's true, man. He really did, yo.
It's about my dad's legacy, yo.
God, you know, I never thought about what – about him being – like, you are so right. Thank God there's no photos out there of him, like, sandwiched between us. Like – I and Aaron or whoever's our intern ready to just pounce on them after the show. I'm not going to say it. Never mind. It's going to get us. Going to get us canceled. Should I say it?
No.
Should I say it?
I'm
not going to say it. God, I'm going to say it.
Jeez.
God forbid he met Dr. Margaret two doors down from me.
Oh no.
I'm just saying.
That's terrible.
I know it's terrible. He's a sick individual. He's demented. The man needs more than 14 years in prison.
He sees a soaking wet Nick coming out of the shower with a cheese stick in his hand. Dr. Margaret walking down the halls.
Oh, man. Oh, unbelievable.
Imagine caught a glimpse of EJ.
Oh, and he loves homeless people. Imagine him in Venice.
Yeah.
Bro, that's like porn for him. Walks across the street to the boardwalk. Which, by the way, is like its own. You and I have seen stuff. The boardwalk is now just
out of control.
Oh, complete and utter disaster. Although I'm going to have to visit it when I come out. We'll have to check it out.
Yeah, we'll go for a walk.
Speaking of another sick individual, Joe, that's a great segue. Mickey Callaway, your former Mets manager.
Oh, man.
Holy cow, man.
This guy, Dick Pick Mick.
Did you ever read the thing I sent you or the thing that had it laid out on The Athletic?
Yes.
Holy shit, man. This guy has been doing this. Like, I don't even know how he managed from that report. He basically, his whole focus all day was getting laid and texting with girls and harassing women. And it was just it's like a 24-hour cycle of just sex, aggressive, assault. Like,
I look forward to him in front of, a reclaimed wood background with his laptop out going like, listen, I was obsessed with sex and didn't take away from the fact that I was still the manager of the Mets and the pitching coach of the Indians, but all of my relationships were consensual. And I sent a lot of DMs.
The Chris D'Elia reference for anybody who didn't catch it. But it's crazy. Like, he got that one woman. If you read the article, he's nice to her and the kid, and then he starts an affair with her. It was just consuming him. And everybody knew, and the Indians knew, and the Indians lied.
Yeah.
And then it looks like everybody's lying, right? The Mets, the Angels. It's like,
well, I mean, yeah. And by the way, I'm not here to defend the Mets by any means, but like, you know, the Mets defense in the hiring
was that the Indians lied.
Was that the Indians lied, but also that they panic hired a guy because they wanted him so bad. And it's like, that's just typical Mets where we're talking about like the pitching coach of the Indians. Yeah. First of all, the Indians didn't win the World Series, you know, and they had, you know, certain guys who were absolutely dominant in that season. And we act like the Mets can't even be bothered to like go sniffing down it because they're in a bit. They want him signed before he even talks to the Phillies, and you're like, Jesus, guys.
I mean, if you had the nickname Dick Pick Mick, everybody know.
Yeah.
I try to understand that. Like, I try to understand as far as not agree, but like, you know, get my head into somebody like that. And it's tough for me, like when it just consumes you. And I have episodes where like, you know, you get all sexual or it consumes you for like a day or like a few hours, but like where it's running. I mean, they were saying he'd be DMing and texting with girls
an like, hour before games.
I was just going to say that, like right before a Mets game, yeah. When he should be working on the lineup or roster moves or whatever it is.
And also you're like, what, you know, you have a wife, what, like, and it's apparently the report is everybody under the sun. You know what I mean? Like not, he didn't care about age. He didn't care about looks. He didn't race. Care about anything. He's just nonstop. He's just machine gun. He's just machine gunning texts.
That was a great part of the article. It said that he didn't focus on race, age, whatever. It was just like, I'm just trying to get laid, man.
Yeah.
No. 20.
But then also it begs the question, like, you know, was he, or was like, there was all of this just a part of it too? Is he obsessed with just like the messages and the whatever? I mean, I feel like you're more into the,
I am
apps over the years than I am. I have spent almost no time on there, but it seems like a lot of people, their thing is just like, carrying on a bunch of these conversations, but never actually meeting up with people or whatever. And you go, who are you people that like want to spend your whole time like flirt texting people from Bumble? Like, is that really exciting?
Well, look, here's the thing with that. I could vouch for some of this stuff. I think sometimes if you've already had sex with somebody, this could sound crazy. So like sometimes if I don't want to deal with somebody or the other things that, you know, cause normally it's not just sex, right? We agree. Like it's very hard to find just something that's purely sexual. It is. Rarely can you just have sex with somebody and then leave. It's just feelings and it's emotions and those things come involved. I have found myself at times with girls that I have hooked up with, like, let's say, hey, we're going to dirty text and I don't feel like dealing with her. And then I'll jerk off and then I feel better. And then I'm like, cool.
Yeah. But it seems like Mickey Callaway is almost just as,
but that's what I was going to say. But I think
obsessed with all of that than he is with like, I mean, he's on the road, like, you know, is he doing the thing? Like, are all the messages on it? Like, you know, I hate to go back to the D'Elia thing, but like, is that the thing? He's like messaging people that he met when he was in Denver the last time and trying to meet up with somebody in Denver again? Or is he just like obsessed with the carrying on via his phone?
I mean, that's a great question.
Which I think that's actually worse.
Yeah.
Dude, you have a baseball team to run. Stop dirty texting people.
No, I agree. I for sure. Look, man, I have a binge personality, as you know. Like, I can be very all into something. And I've been there with girls or with sex, but nothing to this, you know. And it's actually, like, I've, you know, normally it's going to be having sex with them or with multiple girls or whatever. Like this is, like you're saying, this is all consuming 24/7.
It's such a weird world we live in now. We're also like, it's not illegal to be a creep. Like, can you, like, Mickey Callaway is like suspended, probably going to get fired for being a creep, basically.
Yeah. I'm glad you said that.
That's
a good point, dude.
Because like, you're not like the whole Athletic article is this guy keeps trying to get in touch with the Indians because Mickey Callaway slept with his wife. But like, She slept with Mickey Callaway.
Yeah. Now he did something. You know, he sent he sent unsolicited pictures.
Totally.
And he
First of all, listen, I'm a Mets fan. He was our manager. I wouldn't want him to be our manager at all. And I certainly would be like, oh, I hope we fire him if this comes out when he's our manager. But my point is, again, in terms of like the canceling of people and all this stuff, like there's canceling, you know, everybody's crying nonstop about cancel culture. I mean, the Dr. Seuss thing was so funny to me. Like people are crying, but it's like they made that decision. You know what I mean? Like there's so many levels to this stuff.
Well, that's how I felt about the Dr. Seuss thing too. They made the decision. No, but
my point is like, well, Mickey Callaway, if teams go, we don't want like some creepy guy who's obsessed with sexting people in our organization. He's not canceled, right?
But
he's not doing anything illegal.
Sure. Well, there's also levels to this. And that's my problem with culture in general now, right? Our society, right? We want to lump all things together, whether it's like sexual or racist or whatever. Like you just can't do that. We just talked about Kellen Winslow Jr. This guy's a serial rapist. Serial. Then there's Mickey Callaway, who's sending inappropriate dick pics, always caring about sex. He's saying inappropriate things to women. Look at that spectrum I just said. You see what I'm saying? People try to lump all that together. You can't lump those two together.
But here's what's amazing is let's lump a third story just from today into the mix. Mickey Callaway is suspended. Kellen Winslow is in jail. Kellen Winslow very clearly broke many laws. All right. There's probably something in there that Mickey Callaway did that was not, I don't know what the laws are on sending unsolicited pornographic things to people. I don't do that. So I don't have to look up the laws.
Yeah.
So I don't know the laws with that stuff. Is any of that illegal? I don't know. The bottom line is those are two very different ends of a spectrum, right? One guy is a creep and maybe borderline illegal. Another guy is a serial rapist. In between, Ben Roethlisberger just re-signed with the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Good point.
And we talked about this last episode. He's a lot closer to what Kellen Winslow has been accused of than he is what Mickey Callaway has been accused of. A lot closer to that end of the spectrum.
Yeah.
No one cares. He's re-signed. It doesn't matter. Mickey Callaway's not being charged with anything. He's being accused of stuff, and rightfully, I wouldn't want him to be a part of my organization. I'm glad he's no longer part of my organization. But he's not separated from the Angels at this point because of an ongoing criminal investigation.
Yeah.
A Steelers fan would be like, Ben Roethlisberger wasn't charged with anything. Okay, neither is Mickey Callaway, right?
And your point, which is,
I wouldn't want any of these people involved in my team.
Which is a fair point, is Ben Roethlisberger still has a job, multiple sexual assaults, claims, whatever happened. Mickey Callaway's never been accused, to our knowledge, right, of sexual assault, and he's not working.
Yeah, and I'm not saying that he should be working. But sure. I'm saying none of these guys should be working.
Yeah. And again, the point is just lumping all this crap together. Like there are,
but that's where we talk about the hypocrisy of it. Like, you know, if you're going to if you're going to be a person who makes this your whole thing, like, then how in the world is Ben Roethlisberger not still on your target list?
Well, yeah. Again, I think it's, you know, I've said this, like once you start trying to lecture people on this stuff, dude, you break down every layer.
I mean, I want to know where our Steelers fan in the comments has said. He's like, well, his arm's still looking better than ever.
Yeah, man. It's it's a crazy time we live in because of this stuff. And there's no differentiating between different people and different acts. And that's a major problem. It's a major fucking problem. And I can't.
And let me ask you something, Andy. Do you think that this is a baseball thing versus a football thing versus
no, a sports thing? I think these guys do whatever the hell they want.
So do you think if Mickey Callaway was the offensive coordinator of an NFL team, he'd already be suspended?
If it came out, yeah.
The same exact story. Dick pick Mick. But just instead of pitching coach for the Angels, he's offensive coordinator for the Rams. You think he'd already be suspended?
I think so. What do you think?
I don't know. Sometimes it seems like the NFL doesn't hold people to the same standards.
As in it's easier? Like it's easier to get off?
Yeah. It's easier, or it's certainly easier to get a second chance.
Yeah. I don't know. But I think this is rampant. I mean, yeah. You and I both know firsthand with people and having people we know, like this shit is rampant in the locker rooms and within sports organizations and the machismo with men.
And we're in entertainment and in the entertainment business and in every other business and in the barista business.
Yeah.
And in restaurants and in club promoters and in sports business and in, you know, lawyering and in whatever and in politics, obviously. It's like,
and I think that's important to know and recognize that, you know, sex is like one of the main components of life, and sexual stuff is it's always going to be there. But it is interesting that people kind of get lost in that and how all these things, I mean, it's like, I think about stuff in that, like, it's crazy. Like stuff from different jobs. I'm just saying, like, I'm thinking of like people hooking up with people and bosses and people, like, it's nuts.
I mean, also like the unsolicited dick pic, you know, I'm working with Eddie Iff this weekend. You know how many times he sent me that guy sitting on the edge of the bed? I mean, that's an unsolicited dick pic. It's not his.
That guy will never get old, by the way.
But it's like, that's what it is. I just got sent an unsolicited, what is that guy's name? Do we know his name? He has a name.
I saw one because it was so cold here in the month of February. Somebody sent me one here. It was like, it's so cold in Cincinnati. And the picture of he's sitting on the bed. There's no dick.
Yeah.
Like it's just completely shrunk because it's so cold. That guy got us through COVID though, man. Shout out to that guy. Like, I had numerous text exchanges with that guy, from family to friends. I mean, that guy, did he not save COVID?
I heard he was dead.
He
right?
is dead. He is dead.
Oh, wow. Rip that guy.
You don't find that stuff as funny as me.
I mean, sometimes it's funny. Like, you know, it's funny when it's like clever, not like the... Like at this point, tired is the like, hey, there's a call. You can get the COVID vaccine in your neighborhood. They said, you know, they're giving it away to all 40 something year old white guys. Here's the link. And you're like, dude, I'm not even going to click this link. I know what the picture, I know what this is going to open. This is stupid.
Yeah. I'm talking about the creative Photoshops, man.
Yeah. Oh, he's wearing a mask. Oh, he's, you know,
it's no, they're. There's some good ones, man. I think you're kind of, be honest, I think you're being a little disrespectful right now. I'm about to cancel you for trying to act like some of these aren't hilarious. But I also, I am a child at heart. I laugh at the most stupid, juvenile, ridiculous things. And you're just
I'll tell you who else thinks they're funny. Mickey Callaway. He loves them.
Did you just put me on Mickey Callaway's level?
No, I'm just saying he definitely loves that. He definitely loves that meme.
Yeah, you're probably right. All right. Well, let's get to some dirtball calls. Before we do that, dirtballs, quick reminder, send in those iTunes reviews, leave your Twitter or Instagram handle, and I will send you some koozies. Had some very nice reviews in the last week. I'm going to get those koozies out. And I even made a total mess up. I got koozies returned into my mailbox this week. I'm like, oh, I didn't put on enough postage. No, that envelope, I put on zero postage. I don't know what was going on in my head that day. Just zero postage. Just thought I could mail it with nothing on it. But yeah, we got some calls. 310-359-8365. I like this first call a lot. I can't wait to hear your reaction on this.
Ruther Prano, it's your boy Double D, formerly from Indianapolis. Calling because it's that time of year. Wanted to get your take on ketchup. Where does it rank in terms of sauces? Personally, I think it's towards the bottom. If I'm at a ballpark with a hot dog, give me mustard, give me relish, give me onions. If I have eggs, I'm putting fresh tomatoes and maybe hot sauce. When it comes to fries, I don't know, maybe Chick-fil-A sauce, maybe something else. Overall, I just think it's relatively immature, and there's better choices. If you're the kid, I mean, you're 12 years old if you're dunking chicken tenders in ketchup, right? Thanks for taking the call, guys. Stay dirty.
You know, I will have to say, I'm going to hop in real quick. I think this is one of the best calls because I agree, like 100%.
Well, I think the question's even flawed. I think he's even giving too much credit to ketchup just to even call it a sauce. It's not a sauce. Ketchup is a condiment. And I don't even like necessarily. So it's funny that this just happened, but yesterday I went to this tiki bar and they had happy hour and they had a bunch of different things on the menu for happy hour food. And I said, what are the happy hour like noshes do you recommend? And the guy's like, I know this is going to sound crazy, but you got to try our chicken fingers. And I was like, really? Like, they're good. They're not like these fat breaded like things. He's like, dude, they're good. The breading's like legit. It's golden brown. I'm like, all right, give me these chicken fingers. I go, what kind of sauces do you got? And he's like, you just want a gangbang of sauces? And I was like, yeah. So he comes out and he's like, all right, this is barbecue. This is our buffalo. This is teriyaki. This is Thousand Island. He's like, you got ketchup here. I was like, why are we even doing this? What? Honey mustard. Okay. I was like, this, like, why would you even bring me ketchup?
Yeah, I agree.
That's not even a sauce. So, listen, I like ketchup on a burger. I do. I like ketchup on a burger. Sometimes I do ketchup and mustard on a hot dog. I think when in desperate need, most of the time I eat French fries, I don't even put ketchup on them.
You know what? I was going to say that. I never do. I rarely do. I don't even know why I own ketchup. I did it recently. I went to this place.
I basically own ketchup for burgers.
Look, it's pretty good on a burger, but a lot of times even on that burger, it's not just ketchup, right? Putting ketchup and mustard or ketchup and mayonnaise.
Yeah.
You know, I'm doing a combo. I mean, I couldn't agree more. Like ketchup with the fries is lame. It really is. I'd rather have them plain.
I'm not the biggest fry guy generally, but I think it's because like I don't like a poor quality fry. I won't just like take a poor quality fry and like shove it in some ketchup. Now, if I order something someplace and it comes with fries and the fries are bad, yeah, I'll dunk them in ketchup to like make them tolerable. But if your fries are good, I'm not even going ketchup. So listen, I'm not here to slander ketchup because I think it's like it does its role. You know what I mean?
But I think the point of the call,
it's the weak hitting second baseman that can feel pretty good, but like somebody's got to play second base. You know what I mean?
I think his point was, and I get it, that there's still too many people who are putting ketchup.
Yeah, ketchup on my ketchup. And,
you know, yeah, with their.
I think
chicken,
I almost,
like, dude, if you're doing chicken fingers with ketchup, like what, you got to reevaluate your life.
No,
man.
That's I can't even imagine.
Like you, but that's my point.
Poultry and ketchup seems like the weirdest thing. Mikey used to do that. Mikey used to like throw like ketchup on his like turkey, and I was like, "What are you doing?"
Oh,
I'll tell you, and I might need Mikey to call in because Mikey's a pretty big ketchup guy. But I wonder if he's outgrown that. I know he listens to the show these days. I wonder if he's outgrown the ketchup thing now that he's, you know, more of a home chef, or if he's
you're like now
still,
that he's 40.
Yeah. Or if he still messes with ketchup. But, you know, like I'll say sometimes every once in a while, a ketchup on an egg sandwich, I'll do it every once in a while.
So I always have bad ketchup because I'll get it. I do this problem all the time. I'll buy it and I'll be like, you know, in case whatever, I might need it. And it always goes bad because, and it, by the way, ketchup lasts at least like a year. It goes bad because I'm never using it or I don't have people. So let's say like I just picked up some meatloaf that you heat up from Trader Joe's, right? Like there's an example where I'm using ketchup. They never usually put enough on it. I'll add some of their ketchup with some hot sauce on top of the meatloaf. But hot dogs, dude, I'm mustard, man. Maybe ketchup and mustard. Most likely just mustard.
Yeah.
He is right.
I think it's the eighth hitter in your lineup.
It's for children. It's the David Eckstein. Eckstein, what was his name?
I mean, David Eckstein won it. Let's not slander World Series MVP David Eckstein. I'm not here to slander ketchup, but I'm also
was that the 2002 against the Giants?
Yeah.
To be fair, I was in Spain. I missed basically all that World Series. Who's another good one? Because I like where you're going with this.
You know, he's Fernando. The ketchup's Fernando Vina.
Like, ooh, that's good.
You know, just a rando, fine fielding, no hitting second baseman.
Yeah. That's ketchup.
That you're like, I got to play him. I got to hit him. But you know, my leadoff guy is Buffalo. And, you know, teriyaki is hitting two. Obviously, you know, like a honey mustard and like all these other condiments are in your lineup. But you got to, you know, ketchup's in there somewhere.
You know what sauce is just really elevated for me in the last few? It's just any Chipotle sauce.
Chipotle the restaurant or like a Chipotle based sauce?
A Chipotle based sauce.
Yeah, that's not my fave.
Ooh.
Yeah.
There's this chicken sandwich place that opened up this summer in Cincinnati, which I love. And they do some like it's good. But
you know, people like he said, "Oh, like a Chick-fil-A sauce." It's like, "Well, that's very specific." You know what I mean? The Polynesian sauce at Chick-fil-A, bomb as hell. But like, I'm talking about standards, things that you can get, you know, wherever. Also, you know, hitting seven just above ketchup is like the people are just like ranch on everything. You're like, bro, I don't eat. What's with this ranch?
I like ranch, but not.
Especially in California, they're just like, yo, when in doubt, ranch it.
Ranch with fries is good. Ranch with pizza crust is good. I would be, I'm definitely a bigger fan of ranch than I am of ketchup. All right. I'm getting hungry. Let's get to another call.
What's going on, boys? Kyle Aronofsky calling back once again from beautiful Toms River, New Jersey, home of the 1998 Little League World Series champions. I'm wondering, you know, you guys talk a lot about the cancel culture, obviously, and since you're both woke now, one fan, supposed fan. I wanted to know what you guys think about like COVID canceling. It popped to my mind because Andy, you mentioned that you went and saw some friends. You know, you crossed state boundaries and went to go see some friends. So a lot of people, you know, if you posted something on Instagram or, you know, maybe a disgruntled listener would try to cancel you for that. Like, oh wow, nice job. You know, this shit's still serious. You can kill your grandma. Like, what do you guys think about that? You know, I'm certainly not innocent. For football Sunday, they went to my buddy's house and I'm with like four or five guys usually. You know, we're not making out or anything anymore. But just want to know what you think about that. I think it's pretty fucking silly. You know, people got to make their own decisions in this. And, you know, we're all chipping in as much as we can. But if you want to go to your buddy's house and, you know, go see some friends, that's important to, you know, keep your mental health, right, Ruth here? Yeah, that's it. I feel like I know where you guys are going to stand on this, but still seems like a good topic. Later.
Yeah, I don't like this. Like, I don't like people. Well, here's what I'll say about people. Be careful about what you put on social media. I'd say that. Like, when COVID was in some of the height, as far as the spread. You probably felt this way, Joe. And I go on Instagram and I'd see somebody with like 8 to 10 people out. In my own head, I'd be like, you're kind of an asshole.
I mean, yes, I agree with you, but here's the thing.
But like, I'm not going to cancel somebody.
I think what it is, again, just be reasonable. You're just as much of an asshole, you know, if you're policing the internet and calling people out as you are if you're, you know, the person that's trying to go into Ralph's without a mask on and demanding to speak to a manager.
Like, I agree.
We come back around again to the horseshoe political theory where like the two ends are way closer than they, you know, everyone's so divided. Where meanwhile, the divide is between you lunatics on the fringes and us normal people in the middle. Like I question this stuff every day in terms of like, what's safe for me? What's safe for other people? What's safe for, you know, like doing comedy, you know, we're back to doing comedy and it's outside, but I don't know what the table situation is going to be like till I get there. And I don't know what the, you know, how, what's the mask policy? What's the thing? So first things first is like, I'm trying to keep myself safe. And then I'm trying to keep people that I deal with safe. Now, am I going to do, like, first of all, like, this is a great example. Like, this show is going to happen this weekend, whether I'm there or not. Now, am I going to go all willy-nilly, like none of this is a thing, and then go on and just start going and hanging out with my friends? No, I don't do anything. Like, what am I doing? You know, I'm pretty much self-contained.
Yeah.
In my home, in my room, in my hotel room, you know, on a golf course with, you know, three other dudes. It's like, I'm not working somewhere. I'm not doing things. I'm not going a lot of places and seeing a lot of people. So like, would I go to a comedy show this weekend and then go visit my grandmother in a nursing home? No, that would be pretty reckless.
Sure.
But you know, at the same time, is like, I'm not going out there going like, and again, we go all the way back to the beginning of this, people yelling about people protesting when you're not allowed. I thought we weren't supposed to get into big groups. And it's like that. It's like, yo, some of the shit is bigger than other shit. Like, that's a reason to go out and be outside. So it's like, you know,
I'll be honest. I don't agree there. I think the point on a lot of that stuff was that the government was saying you couldn't mingle or you shut down your business, but protesting was fine, which I agree. Like that doesn't make sense to me.
Obviously it wasn't fine. They were tear gassing people. So what, they weren't like, oh, it's fine. Like, and also that was the group of people that was like, you know, masked and believed and whatever.
I mean, look, that's a whole other discussion. We probably don't agree, it seems, on some of that stuff, and that's fine. Just, you know, my take always is be smart. I agree. Don't police. You know, you have to do what's best for you, for your family. Like me going to visit friends in St. Louis in a controlled environment, exactly, is, you know, is me in a car driving 5 hours. It's like, but you know, we're all going to view these things differently, right? Like I haven't, my the Reuther family, as far as myself, the nephews and nieces in my brothers and sister-in-laws, we haven't all gotten together since my dad's funeral. So there's a reason because of that, right? Like we haven't, because of COVID, we had not get together for Thanksgiving, for Christmas. Cause there's 16 of us. That's a lot of people. And there's people at risk in my family. So look, just live your life. I don't want to jinx it, but I think I think there's light at the end of the tunnel here, and I'm feeling optimistic. I don't know about you, Joe, but like I really am. And I think most of us will all be vaccinated by the end of June. So it's looking that way. So I know it's not easy, but my advice would just
be, Bill Gates will know where we all are all the time. And where we are is at home watching football on Amazon.
I did call somebody out at Target the other day. Some dipshit had his mask, not even on his chin, like here. And I said, you know, the mask is supposed to go over the face, right? He just laughed. But I called him sir first. See, I throw a nice.
I mean, again, it's all the thing. It's like, I'm not even going to like whatever, but it, like, we could get into the whole, you know, we could go down a whole Shibeli wormhole of, you know, how much mask wears, how much, like, what are we talking about? Like, it's not that hard.
Yeah, look, man, I'm not.
It's just kind of like when you do that, you're just kind of like going like, I just disregard people, like the whole nonsense of like, this is how they get you. First, they get you to wear masks, then they get you to, you know, like, I'm not even like crazy enough to joke about like what they say is next. First, they get you to wear masks, then they get you to all wear the same uniform. Like, you're like, okay, whatever. Then they get you to stop at stoplights. First, they get you in masks. Then they get you to stop at stoplights. Then they get you for, you know, they get you complying to other randomly asserted government things. Next thing you know, they got you wearing pants in public. Okay. They already got me wearing pants in public.
Look, I think we all have fatigue from this, and I'm trying not to get annoyed with people. Obviously, like I said, I called somebody out the other day at Target, but it wasn't anger. It was me making a joke.
But it's also like, why is it hard for that guy? Like, why, you know, what, that's just a look at me thing too. That's just a look at me. That's just wanting trouble. That's all you want. You want trouble.
Yeah.
You're Karen.
I agree.
You want somebody to talk to you.
I think I do agree. I think by putting it there versus not even wearing one, it you bring even more attention on yourself.
No one in the history of this year has ever called somebody out because for a moment they felt like they needed a whatever and they pull their mask down for half a second to get air through their nose and put it right back on and go back right to what they're doing just for like the sake of it. But like, if you're walking around with it hanging from your ear just to prove a point, you're just a Karen too.
Yeah.
The sides of this are so close.
What I'm hoping is, on a positive note, that we have another roaring 20s like we did after the Spanish flu, and people were going out and they were having fun and they're partying and they're having sex. You know, maybe we'll have that again. Maybe we'll just have a giant worldwide orgy in 2022.
Mickey Callaway's like, send pics. Sounds great. I'm in. Kellen Winslow knocking on the door. I'm here for the worldwide gangbang. Remember when he looked exactly like Todd Phillips in his court appearance?
He did.
Remember when he went that look? Hi, I'm here for the worldwide gangbang. I'm here for the roaring 20s worldwide gangbang. Kellen Winslow, get back in your cell. What are you doing here?
I do love like what these lawyers said. Like, okay, you had a shaved head. You look like a lunatic in the NFL. Now I want you to look like a 45-year-old Jewish man. Can you give that look in court to confuse the victims? All right, we're going to end with, you know, it's kind of been a dirty episode. I know we're not dirty anymore, but we've talked about a lot of dirty things, Joe, a lot of sexual things. We're going to end with a dirty sexual, straight up sexual.
Oh, no, here we go.
Well, the turtle story inspired it.
Oh, boy.
Joe, Andy, Jay, your Minnesota farmer dirtball. We're talking about savage stories. I don't know if this is savage or just stupid, but my 22nd birthday, I had a party bus, and a bunch of kids like kind of fell asleep. And well, one kid threw up and then fell asleep, and I was kind of slighted because I didn't throw up. It was my birthday. What the fuck? You know, you're going to drink too much booze and throw up on my birthday? I don't do that. And I mean, I tried my best, but I didn't. Anyway, I was slighted by this kid doing that. So once he got back to the place and fell asleep in my kitchen, everyone was kind of hanging out, and I put my nutsack on his forehead. Yeah, I don't know. Stay dirty.
That was the end of the story. I don't know. Stay dirty.
Canceled.
Mickey Callaway is like, did anybody get a picture of that?
Mickey Callaway. He's the, you know what Mickey Callaway is? Mickey Callaway is the original Pixar. It didn't happen.
Mickey Callaway's the meme of the guy looking around the corner. He's just always like, yeah, you got picks.
Oh, we all know that guy.
We all know the guy who what passes out?
No, or the guy who's like, yo, man, let me see those picks.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Like there's that one friend who's like, yo, let me see. Like, if you're like, hey man, this girl sent me some crazy pic. Yo, let me see those pics. You're like, dude, take it easy, man. Give me my phone back.
What like that was, you know, that am I supposed to have a reaction?
I don't know. I just wanted to play it.
Sounds pretty standard for like 20 somethings in 2003, but I'm glad it's still a thing, I guess, in 2020.
It brings me back to the
more importantly, what were you doing on a party bus? And was everybody masked? How dare you? This is no time for partying.
It brings me back to that Chappelle bit in his second special.
White people.
When their friends pass out.
Yeah.
And he's like, man, you guys do some. Chappelle, you know, is always my favorite comic. I believe this was his 2004 special or 2005. Was that Killing Them Softly or was that his first special?
I think that was the second, but I don't. Yeah, I think Killing Them Softly, that was one in San Francisco. That was the second one, right?
Yeah, at the Fillmore.
Yeah.
And the Killing Them Softly was the first.
Oh, okay.
And
I know.
Yeah, this was the one on Showtime.
Okay.
But anyway, regardless, you know the bit I'm talking about. It's really funny where he's talking about like white people when their friends pass out. For what it's worth, 2004, that was the special. They always do some like pseudo gay shit. Like Steve passed out, so I shoved a carrot up his ass.
Yeah,
like, and it's true. As a guy, especially
on his face.
Yeah, as a guy who was in a fraternity, like everything is very gay.
Well, we know. But my thing is like, I wonder, like my fear, I guess, would be if this was happening today, it would be like, oh my God, is this guy going to wake up? And now there's this picture of me, you know, doing something to him. And now like suddenly I'm a criminal. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like that's the thing you got to worry about these days, as opposed to like, you know, draw a dick on somebody's head in 1997. No one blinked.
Okay, I'll pose this.
Here's what I'll say. There's definitely either been a charges pressed or a lawsuit brought against somebody who drew a dick on someone's forehead while they were passed out.
Okay, then
at this point.
Then I'm going to pose this question, because this actually segues into a discussion I had with my college buddies in St. Louis last week. We got in like a huge discussion, and it was a debate at dinner. Socially distanced dinner, by the way. You had to wear a mask when you left the table to get into the restaurant. There's only so many seats for anybody who's caring. Anyway, no. I said, and I've said this forever, you know, I graduated in school in 2005. My friends, 2004. The iPhone came out in 2007. It changed everything. I've said that forever. It changed everything. And it did. I said the shit that we did in school from 2000 to 2005 could not be done. All that dumb shit we did. And my buddy said, my other buddy was disagreeing. He goes, I think there's still a whole group that still does that in college. I go, there's not.
No way.
I said, because of these. I said, dude, digital cameras were like a thing. Like girls.
I mean, think about the people on, like, think about it. Let me just put it this way. So many people are so concerned with like their life going forward. People going about like, I mean, we have now, this is something that like, we deal with, we're not famous by any means, but like just having a platform and just having like a big Twitter feed and just whatever, the amount of anonymous trolls that say horrible, like criminal, borderline criminal things to us on the internet. And then we just go, you're a troll. You don't even have to, it's like, well, just cause I have a real job. You're going, okay, so you're a monster. But you're concerned with how it might look at work. Like the fact that some of the worst vile people are concerned with, you know, their social media footprint tells you everything you know. If you're just like a regular person, you're going, yeah, I'm not letting you take a picture of that.
I agree. That's where I'd like to know. And obviously we have a lot of young listeners. Like, I just don't think the shit that I did or we like, I just don't think it goes on in colleges anymore. You can't just drop your pants. You can't walk into the laundry room naked. You can't teabag your buddy. You can't do it. You can't take a dump in an unattached toilet in the middle of the hallway of your Walsh dormitory sophomore year. Not that I did it, allegedly. I'm just saying, you can't do it. And that's why I have deemed I am the greatest generation. Forget the World War II guys. I am the greatest generation because we were the last generation to get away with that shit. Anyway, give us a ring. 310-359-8365. That is the hotline. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at The Dirty Sports. Drop an iTunes review. Leave that Twitter, Instagram handle. Or email me, andyreuther45@gmail.com. And I will send you two koozies courtesy of us. Joe, I know you got to get to the pool. Anything else?
At Joe Prano on Instagram, at Fix Your Life on Twitter, at Joe Prano on everything else. And no, that's all I got. Oh, and if you're down in the San Diego area, bring a mask and check out the Grand Comedy Club. And if you're not, do a way more COVID safe thing and get my comedy special on Amazon Prime, because we know every single person has Amazon these days. So get it. I just put it up there after so long being on Vimeo on demand. I put it on Amazon. So there was thousands of reviews from Dirtballs on the original platform. But now that I've tried to make it a little bit more universally free, now that it's brand new to Amazon, there's only one review. So Dirtballs, if you can't, you know, if you've already watched it, at the very least, review the special. That's it. That's my plug for the day.
All righty. Have a great weekend, Dirtballs. We'll be back Monday. And as always, stay dirty.